This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
John Lennon, Revolution. Remember that song? Is that what's going on right now in Afghanistan? A little bit of a revolution? Or just a general collapse and chaos, huh? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being with us. It is Tuesday, August the 17th, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Jarrett Stepman. Now, he is an author. He's a journalist. He co-hosts a podcast. It's called The Right Side of History. He's going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about something that maybe went under the radar a little bit with everything else going on these days, but Rand Paul, somewhat of a libertarian, the senator from Kentucky, and the silencing by YouTube of what Rand Paul has been saying. Have you heard about that? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it, so stay tuned. And, excuse me. And President Biden goes scurrying back to Camp David after he goes to the White House for a short defense of his Afghan pullout. He's back resuming his vacation, one trusts. So I guess he's sleeping at this point. It's too early for him to be up. So we're going to get some thoughts on what's going on with him. And a couple other topics from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese. You know, I just watched Biden. I knew he wouldn't take any questions. He's just up there, he squints his eyes as he's trying to read it. Put your glasses on, Joe. You're not fooling anybody. Put your glasses on and read the damn teleprompter. And then as soon as he finishes, he goes shuffling off.
Shuffle. He wanted a full all-out sprint, I think.
Well, that's for him. It's a sprint. For us, it's a shuffle. He tried to get away as quickly as possible.
You notice he usually when you're done, you look at the crowd, say thank you, and walk off.
Not him.
He looked at the ground, turned around, and walked. No eye contact.
Caught with
whatsoever.
His hand in the cookie jar, Joe. Mm. Yeah. So he's back there, sleeping it off, I guess. Anyway. Also, we're going to talk about a bunch of big city mayors. You know how many of them, like in Washington, D.C., some of these others, Baltimore, they talked about defunding the police. Now they got different thoughts, big time, on defunding the police. We're going to take a look. And we got a good ultimate top 10. The top 10 cities getting too costly for retirees. Used to be that they were good places to go. We'll take a look at them. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, this is hot weather out there. You need a short haircut. You need to look dapper. You don't want any long, stringy hair. Get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop, best barber in Tampa Bay, for my money. He's located in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street, Dunedin, on Overcash Drive. Call first. For your appointment, 727-733-3773. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. Jimmy and Polly, they did a nice job this morning. They missed Tracy. Hope she's going to be okay. But they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So, You know, there were something like 640 people on that plane that took off, that one where everybody was holding on the outside of the plane as it took off. Not everybody, but a whole bunch of people. What a desperate attempt to get out. Meantime, the Taliban announced today that they have an amnesty. That's what they... Do you trust the Taliban when they say that they're going to have an amnesty for everybody? I'm not so sure. They say they got an amnesty across the country. They've urged women to join the government. At the same time, they have formed a ring around the Taliban airport. It will be the Taliban airport. That airport in Kabul has been sealed off by the Taliban. So those inside the airport probably don't want to try to get out. Those outside the airport ain't going to get in. They don't want anybody else leaving town. And now they're declaring that they want an amnesty. And this is something that the State Department had talked about, too. Despite the Taliban's long history of oppressing women and their iron-fisted rule, the State Department said they are urging Afghanistan's new leaders to form an inclusive government with women in it. Is that like teaching an old dog new tricks? Is the Taliban all of a sudden going to cast away its, what would you call it, its religious cultural tendencies to keep women as second-class citizens, you know? I don't think they're going to change their stripes. I don't care what they say. But a member of the Taliban's cultural commission, if you can call the Taliban's having a cultural commission even believable, says that they're going to try to include women. So there you go.
You mean a softer side Taliban?
Yeah, it's their gentler, softer side. Yeah. It's the kumbaya Taliban moment. And, I mean, first of all, let's just see what unfolds with all of these people that are stuck there that tried to get out. But this is really something to watch, and it's very scary. It really is. Now, a couple of the newspapers, in fact, you might call them the big three when it comes to national newspapers, the New York Times, The Washington Post and The Wall Street Journal, they've issued a joint statement asking and urging Biden to ensure the safe exit of their journalists from Afghanistan. Now, I don't know how he's going to ensure that at this point with everything collapsing over there. But here's the New York Times. For the past 20 years, brave Afghan colleagues have worked tirelessly to help the Times, the Post, and the Wall Street Journal share news and information from the region. Now those colleagues and their families are trapped in Kabul, their lives in peril. So they call on support for our colleagues and an unequivocal signal that the government will stand behind the free press. So I don't think Biden can promise anything anymore. You know, I heard a good comment. I think it made a lot of sense. Because I've gone back and forth myself on this whole concept. I mean, we were there for 20 years, and what good were we doing? Well, maybe we were doing some good. Because at the end, we had a presence in there, what, about 6,000 soldiers? And we weren't fighting, and people weren't dying there anymore. But we were able to hold the peace. Now, what have we been doing in Korea all these years, since 1953? Have we not been holding the peace there? Certainly, if we had not stayed there, do you think that there would be a North and South Korea? I think that North Korea and the Chinese would have taken over South Korea. So maintaining a presence in Afghanistan with several thousand troops and nobody getting killed, we had kind of gotten into the same kind of a situation there. So when we pulled the plug, as we just did, Now all of that stuff is, you know, now refoaming again. So now we got all this trouble. So maybe we should have kept that presence there. Maybe that wasn't such a bad idea. We claim that we need to have some sort of involvement in that part of the world, a presence, and that presence would keep Afghanistan from totally turning into chaos. So I'm beginning to think that maybe, you know, there is such a thing as having a presence there and allowing things to just come to a stalemate for a while. Now we're not doing, now of course that's too late for Afghanistan. We've lost our presence there. Of course, Biden wants to send back what? He wants to go back up with a couple thousand more troops again? What? Is this his second thought? That's what I'm wondering. Anyway, we are going to switch topics here. Going to take our break. When we come back, Jared Stepman is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about Rand Paul and his being silenced.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have Jared Stepman join us. He is a Daily Signal writer and co-host of a podcast called The Right Side of History. He is also an author. He wrote a book called The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past. Jared, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's our pleasure to have us, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they are doing to Rand Paul. Rand Paul is one of our favorite senators because, of, among other things, I think he stands up and kind of holds his ground on a lot of different things, happens to have a libertarian streak in him. Son of Ron Paul, of course. And now he's been censored, apparently, by YouTube. Tell us a little bit about what he said and why, in your opinion, YouTube decided to shut him down.
Yeah, so basically the video that has been censored and removed by YouTube is what one in which Paul, who was a physician, was essentially saying, he was discussing the issue with masks and saying, not that masks are by themselves ineffective in preventing the spread of COVID-19 coronavirus, but that certain masks are ineffective. You're saying the cloth masks that have often been pushed, that there are a lot of studies that essentially say that they are not particularly effective at preventing you from getting and contracting coronavirus, that really only the N95s work in those circumstances. And he was basically just giving a talk based on a lot of studies that that are certainly out there and many believe in. YouTube essentially decided to pull these videos, citing the World Health Organization and what they called local authorities disputing this and saying essentially that this kind of misinformation has to be clamped down on. They placed not only censored the videos, they put a 7-day moratorium on his account. I find it pretty incredible. I mean, obviously, what Paul was saying was contradicting what the CDC was saying. It was contradicting what the World Health Organization. I think it's somewhat amusing that they cited the World Health Organization after the chaos of that organization in the early days of the coronavirus outbreak. But I think it's really something when we have these essentially large big tech companies deciding what is and isn't the truth, what essentially what they say is misinformation based on what these agencies are saying, and effectively censoring a representative of the people, a senator, somebody who is an elected official of the United States, and essentially saying, you have to be sidelined because these agencies disagree with you. I think that that really shows the recklessness of many big tech companies. YouTube, which is owned by Google, is certainly not alone in this, in trying to direct what they call the truth, which is something that often is very much malleable, as we've seen with so many of these agencies that have had to reverse their decisions, have changed their ideas. I think it's a terrible thing, and I think it's something that whether or not you agree with Paul in what he was saying, you should be worried about how these big tech companies operate.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We've talked about the fact that as a private company, they can decide if they want to keep somebody on there or not. I mean, we can jump up and down, but it's not a government-run company. You can get into the nuances of their ability to have access to the internet airwaves or whatever you want to call it, but they are private companies. But it always does seem like the shutdowns occur with conservatives. I mean, I can't think of a liberal that's been shut down on any of these things. I really can't. Maybe they have, but it's always a conservative. Plus, this thing about going against some of the things that are the so-called commandments in this virus. Look what the WHO and, Fauci and everybody, they've been changing course many times over the course of this situation. I don't think they've been shut down.
No, absolutely not. And I think you're right about, I think Paul has even recognized that, you know, this is a private company, not suggesting that, you know, they'd be forced to put anything on their platform. Of course, at the same time, there are concerns that how much these big tech companies are operating in conjunction with government agencies, how much is that cooperation actually taking place, and why is essentially the rules that they set out, which are often very much opaque, so seemingly unevenly enforced. I think that is what causes so much consternation, that these are not simply the rules that everybody simply must abide by, that if you break them, you're going to get shut down. If you don't, you're okay. It seems that they're used in a targeted sense to shut down things that are politically on one side of the political spectrum, or at least against another side. And I think that is what I think has caused many to lose confidence in these organizations when they do seem so one-sided in this respect. And I think that when you look out at especially what they call misinformation, I mean, I think many remember how in the early days it was simply seen as fact from a lot of these agencies, from a lot of big tech, that there's no possible chance that this COVID-19 could have possibly escaped from a lab in China. There's no
right.
possible way that it could have escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, when it's very clear now that we're seeing more that it's much more likely than the original story that this was just a naturally occurring phenomenon. I think that they shut down many who were saying what is more likely closer to the truth. And I think that is the real problem here. You know, what is misinformation? Are these big tech companies really in a position to tell people essentially what is right and wrong, what should be said and what shouldn't? I think that's a worrying thing, especially given the power that many do over the flow of information in our society. I mean, I think we should be for a free flow of information. These things should be disputed and debated among the American people. Obviously, there are a lot of things that have changed, even from these agencies from the very beginning. They are not the they don't have control of all the facts, of all the information, of all what is truth, and we shouldn't think of it that way. So we should all be really disturbed by what they've done to Paul and many others certainly in the last few years, with increasing regularity.
Yeah, and there's no question about the way that they've treated conservatives and shut down conservative talk. There's just no question about it. We're talking with Jared Stepman, who he writes for the Daily Signal. He co-hosts The Right Side of History. It's a podcast. He's an author. We're talking a little bit about what they've done to Rand Paul on YouTube, which is, I guess, a part of, at some point, I guess Google bought them. So is Rand Paul still basically censored on YouTube from anything, or have they changed their, have they allowed him back, or what's the update on that?
They placed a 7-day moratorium on his account, which I think is just about to end now. Paul argued in a press call, essentially, that this is preventing, essentially, many of his constituents in Kentucky from even seeing his speeches and what he's saying, that essentially that because of this moratorium, that he effectively can't speak to many people who get the word from him, his constituents, from his YouTube account, who are subscribers to his YouTube. Again, Paul didn't dispute that they had the right necessarily to have what they want on their platform, but he did dispute the facts of it and did say that essentially that what they did was making it difficult for a sitting U.S. senator to get his message out to a public, which does have disturbing implications. You know, that they can do this to somebody like Senator Rand Paul. What does that mean for the average person who doesn't have a big platform or who doesn't have access to a huge public? And what does that say for the little guy, essentially, who may be censored or shut down? Nobody knows about it. And I think that that also has huge implications for society.
Do you think that because there's been this ongoing feud between Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci, that this is part of the reason that YouTube did this? In other words, they're taking sides, and Fauci's been seen as kind of the liberal voice, and maybe Rand Paul, who's also a doctor, the conservative voice?
Who knows what actually goes on behind closed doors there, but I certainly think that that's part of this. I mean, you know, Fauci's been touted as this great expert, this great scientist who's giving the truth, and many people believe that. They believe that Fauci has been giving it straight from the beginning, that we should just believe in him and believe in science. But he's gotten a number of things wrong since the beginning when this thing broke out. And I think there are questions, you know, certainly what his connections are to the Institute of Virology there in Wuhan, whether or not he's necessarily a person that we should always trust in all circumstances. I think that's a silly thing. I mean, the guy is a bureaucrat, and Senator Rand Paul, I think, has every reason to be listened to as Fauci does. He's a sitting U.S. senator. He's a man with a medical background. The idea that one should be elevated and one should be effectively silenced, I think it's absolutely the wrong way to go about this. And I think a lot of big tech companies, as we've seen so many times, their fingers on the button one way. And I think that's what's made it so disturbing. It almost feels like there's a kind of cabal that works together to carefully curate the message that comes to the American people. And I think that is something that is going to undermine those who are in those institutions, especially when it's proven that they're wrong in many circumstances, that they ultimately went after people who said something that turned out to be true.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of backtracking going on right now. I got to ask you something as long as I've got you, Jarrett, and that has to do with Afghanistan and maybe the way the press is treating Biden. Even it seems like the liberal press is slapping Biden around a little bit for what happened in Afghanistan. Do you get that sense?
I do get that sense a little bit. I mean, certainly watching his address to the country last night, It was a series of straw men and, frankly, not addressing the issue at hand. I mean, he was talking about the war and his decision to pull out of Afghanistan, which is a popular position among Americans, did not address the scenes we are seeing of the chaos that's happening in that country that are hard to deny. I mean, it's hard. So many Americans now have seen the images of people gathered at the Kabul airport clinging to the side of an airplane. You know, people compare this to the fall of Saigon in 75, in many ways this looks worse.
Yeah.
I think the idea that Biden was simply the adult in the room, that this was, they were going to bring confidence to government, it's just been impossible to deny. There have been so many other issues, including, you know, a crisis we currently have on the border, which is exploding out of control. I think a lot of the questions about confidence, it's hard to say that this is just going great, that this is the adults coming back. I mean, I think that even the media, many of whom are on the left or the far left, have to recognize that the American people are watching this and seeing this catastrophe unfold, are questioning their political leadership. They're questioning how this entire operation was conducted. Americans don't want to see, but whatever we think about the withdrawal in Afghanistan or not withdrawal, they don't like to see losing and embarrassment on the world stage. And this is one of the most embarrassing fiascos in American foreign policy, certainly in my lifetime and in many others. And I think that has to be accounted for. And even the very liberal press that supports Biden hasn't been able to dodge that. There's really no spinning this. This looks terrible for the White House. It looks terrible for his administration that is only 6 months old. For a guy who we should think would know better. He's been in politics for a very, very long time.
And yet, wasn't it, Obama's Secretary of Defense or one of the Democrats that said over the 40 years that Biden's been in politics, he's been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision. He just continues to keep his record intact, it sounds like.
Yeah, that was Robert Gates.
Yeah, Gates.
And I can't.
Can you believe that? A Democrat saying that about another Democrat.
I mean, it does make sense. And I think there are a lot of people who are on the Democrat side of the political spectrum who are very upset about what they're seeing, because the images are impossible to ignore. I mean, especially what we saw over the weekend. We're coming up now on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and what we're seeing is a total lack of confidence in this withdrawal and departure of our military equipment falling into enemy hands, of the people that we work with who will now be brutalized by a terrible regime. And I think while most Americans, certainly by polls, want to see a withdrawal from Afghanistan, we have a reason to expect that they can conduct a withdrawal in an efficient manner that doesn't leave so many people, leave so many casualties, leave so much chaos, and leave so much embarrassment for the United States on the world stage. And I think that should have been expected. The fact that they were not able to pull this off and it turned into a mess, and that we got no answers for why it's such a mess, is what's so infuriating about the incident.
Indeed. Jared, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for being with us and sharing your thoughts on this situation, both with Afghanistan and the censorship of Rand Paul. Hope to talk with you soon again.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, as Biden huddles back in his padded room at Camp David after his short defense of his Afghan pullout, yesterday, we're going to get some thoughts on that and a couple of other topics as well from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Sorese.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back. And by the way, I hope you're able to listen to us when we are on live Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Tan Talk. However, if you cannot do so, you can at your leisure listen to us on our podcast. Thanks to Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. You have to go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top. There's the podcast button. Click on it. You'll see all our shows, one after another, latest one first. And you'll know who the guest is and what the top 10 is. So that's all you got to do. Well, I don't know. I wonder when the next time is that Joe Biden is going to take any questions from the press. But he stood out there about, what time was it, around 3 o'clock or so yesterday afternoon, reading that stupid speech of his about what he had decided to do. And he said, the buck stops here. And he immediately, maybe in the same breath, was blaming Donald Trump, as if he couldn't have changed course himself when he became president. He's been pulling the plug on everything else that Donald Trump has done, and yet he's not able to change the policy that Trump was establishing in Afghanistan. I don't buy that for one moment. He's just blaming Trump. He's just blaming him. We got the proprietor of the Barber Pole. Andrew, did you have the pleasure of watching Biden sweet talk his way through the Afghanistan situation yesterday?
No, I didn't, Paul. I would have destroyed my television.
I bet. I bet. He was terrible. And, of course, he turned and walked away, and as Ed said, didn't even look up. he just looked down and ran away. He didn't want to take any questions.
Okay, you know, he's got to feel like the smallest little rodent there is on Earth today.
Yeah, I think he might. Although, you know what? He's been going through, I don't know, after a while, they lose touch with what they really are doing. I'm not sure he feels like a rodent.
I know we haven't heard too much from the squad.
No.
Pelosi, from Schumer. The whole Democrat Party's in hiding or what?
Yeah, well, Pelosi hasn't said much, and you're right. And, of course, Kamala Harris, they've muzzled her. They don't want her saying anything. Pelosi apparently is still trying to get this huge trillion-dollar spending bill going. I don't know if she wants to say anything about Afghanistan right now. They're all in hiding.
It's disgusting.
You know, they're all in hiding.
It's a shame what this country has come to. They should all resign.
I mean, the border, they're letting the border go. And, you know, that's another terrorist entry point. We don't think much about it, maybe, but...
Oh, you know what? This country needs a good blast, Paul. I'm sorry to say. It's the only thing that wakes these stupid people up when it's in their front door.
Yeah. You mean a good...
And you know what? They might get it because now they got the armament to do it.
You talk about the... You talk about Al-Qaeda, basically, right?
Yeah, yes.
Well, you know, we got September 11th coming up, and it's the 20-year anniversary, as you know, and everybody is a little concerned. Let's be honest about it. They're concerned that something might happen.
Again, Paul, as I say, let it wake them up. Mm-hmm. So this country needs a wake-up, Paul. The people got blinders on. All they're worried about is today, their mighty dollar, and their mighty dollar is worthless thanks to Uncle Joe and the Democrat Party.
Yeah, that's another issue. We got the terrible inflation.
This country's falling apart. I don't know if the Democrat Party has been paid off to do this or what.
Yeah.
But it's a disaster, and anybody who says it's not is a fool.
Yeah. No, things are looking very bleak. This is, I would say this is probably the worst. He's had a bunch of them, but I would say this is probably the worst moment in Biden's presidency right now.
Did you see the people falling off of that airplane?
Oh, it was terrible.
In the air?
Well, I couldn't see them technically.
I hope
But I heard about it.
Joe is proud of that, and I hope all the people that voted for him feel real strong about him and the country. A bunch of morons.
Well, this is going to be the last thing. It's like the helicopter taking off from the roof at the Saigon Hotel or wherever it was in 1975, downtown Saigon. This is going to be what people remember. People clinging to a cargo plane, which had about 700 people inside of it, trying to get away.
You know what? Did you see the pictures of the Taliban in the presidential office now?
Yes, I did.
Guns and their weapons?
Yep.
Or maybe that moron Pelosi knows what an insurrection looks like now, huh?
That's a real one.
That's right, and that's what should have been done over here.
Yeah, well, maybe we need
the opportunity, you should have done it.
Maybe we needed a couple of turbaned Al-Qaeda or Taliban to lead the charge into the Capitol.
Donations.
I don't know.
I'm going to start taking donations.
Oh, my goodness.
I could pay these suckers.
Yeah. Well, I think, we want to do it the best way we can, and maybe by paying for it at the voting booth is what's going to happen to Democrats.
Paul, this country doesn't have that long, Paul.
You don't think it's going to make it?
Until 2022.
Really?
No. You think we could take any more of this crap?
Well, I mean, what can we really do other than, we can talk about it, but what are we going to do? Are we going to form a posse like they do in the movies or what?
Well, you know what?
And go on down to the jail?
That's a bad idea with about 5 million people.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do, sir?
That might not be a bad idea, Paul. That's what happened in 1776, and that's what needs to happen again.
Well, we were fighting it out.
35 of them. Paul.
We were fighting an intruder at that point. We're fighting amongst ourselves.
Well, you know, Paul, isn't it that they said against foreign and domestic?
True.
Well, we have domestic terrorism right now, mm-hmm. and it's our own politicians, our own government.
But I mean, what can we really do? What can we do? I mean, we can talk about overthrow, et cetera. It sounds good.
People need to join together. I guess we need a real leader, don't we?
Yeah.
Apparently, we don't have any.
We do need a real leader. We need somebody that people can go, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now,
Trump. They better bring Trump back.
We had Trump, but a lot of people didn't like the way he delivered the message. Let's be honest.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of stupid people out there, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
My father used to say, they're soul singers. They're a bunch of soul singers, Paul, and you know what? They got no soul.
Yeah. And very little brain.
They have no pride, nothing.
Yeah.
Weak people in this country. Weak, lame little weasels, Paul. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted with them.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Well, but we've got we were talking about Rand Paul. I think Rand Paul's got a backbone. I think Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, has a backbone. There are certain people that I think have backbone. I think Lindsey Graham basically has a backbone.
Yeah,
he's been there
he's
a long time.
And me, he went along with their infrastructure.
A
flip flop just like Charlie Crist.
Yeah, he went along
he's
a little
but
bit.
A politician, he needs to go too.
Yeah. I guess the only one we can trust is Rand Paul. I don't think he would vote for it.
I'll be honest with you. I think Rand Paul is a great person. He says it like it is.
I think so, too.
That's why they're censoring him.
Yeah, they've been doing that. And, of course, he's going to always have some sort of a way, of getting his words out. But, yes, they are. They're trying to muffle the poor guy. So let me ask you, how's Nicole doing, your wife? She was not feeling good.
She's not doing well, Paul.
She's not.
She's not doing well at all.
You had mentioned there's a possibility.
Very, very weak. She has taste. She has smell.
Do you think it's something other?
Fever. She does not have a fever.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not the COVID.
She's very, very weak. And this has been going on now for 9 days.
Now, she's obviously been to the doctor, and they've looked her over, et cetera?
Yeah, they got to treat it like a virus.
But do they think it's the COVID?
They don't know. There's another strain of something going around. It's called CVR or something.
But not necessarily COVID-19.
But it's not COVID, no.
Okay.
So we don't know. I'm playing it by ear.
Is she at home resting?
She's at home resting. Okay. I'm not at work either. I'm staying home with
her. Oh, listen, our thoughts and prayers are with her. We love Nicole. She's a wonderful person.
I won't leave her alone.
No.
I have no fever. I'm 100% fine.
That's good.
100% fine. We don't understand it.
Well, we'll say a prayer for Nicole and both of you. And main thing is that she gets well. And I know that she can't be in better hands than she is with you, so that's good.
Right now, she's blaming the Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, she says she's not going to no more Chinese restaurants.
No more Chinese takeout either.
That's it. She said no more.
All right.
Chinese.
But well, anyway. I love to both of you, and thank you so much. We'll talk again Friday, my friend.
All right, Paul. You have a good day.
And the same to you. All right. Gee, we got to worry about Nicole. Doesn't sound like she's got the virus, Ed. Maybe she's got something else. You know, that's the first thing you think about. I got the sniffles yesterday, and honestly, I started thinking, even though I got the shot, gee, I wonder if this is, you know, the virus. I mean, it just goes through your mind. But I didn't. You know, I don't. But still, I mean, it's just one of those crazy things. All right. Let us take our final break. When we come back, now a bunch of big city mayors have different thoughts on defunding the police. We're going to take a look. I'm going to raise a fuss.
I'm going to raise a holler. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and feeling bad for Nicole and Andrew Ceresi. Want to make sure they're well. You know, I went to the dentist yesterday, and I was telling you about it, and had to have one of these teeth pulled because of a root canal issue, and I don't know. I'm still getting over that. My face is a little bit on the swollen side. I know you've had experiences with that, but I don't know.
Did you get any good drugs or not?
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, you know, they give you, amoxicillin, I think it's called. You know what that is? It's like a pain relief drug. You cannot phone in pain relief drugs anymore. Did
oh,
you
no,
know
no,
that?
No, no, no.
You have got to carry a paper.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you got to show your ID.
Yep.
Prove who you are.
Even yep.
For something like amoxicillin?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness me.
Controlled substances.
Controlled substances. Yep. Well, that's what's going on. Anyway, Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser and many other Democratic city leaders scrambling to boost police budgets all of a sudden, hire more cops amid the deadliest crime wave in two decades. And this is going on in major cities across the country. The crime waves have laid bare the tensions between the progressives and the moderates in the Democratic Party. The division has chilled efforts to reshape police departments and go after cops.
Well, it's actually happened right here in St. Petersburg.
Yeah. What's going on?
Mayor Kreisman put out a budget that, the way it was worded, that, you know, the new, we're going to hire counselors and send those people out.
Counselors and social workers.
Yeah. Instead of hiring new officers, they hired those people. So, in other words, the retiring officers that retired were not replaced with new officers, which you have less. And if you look, crime and murder rate is up in St. Petersburg over last year.
That's terrible. It's been inevitable when they've started to cut back on the cops. I don't know what has gotten into anybody's mind. Because if you think about it, Democrats, their base, it's a lot of inner city minority people that vote for them. And don't you think you ought to keep them safe?
You know, police now, most agencies now have them with a body cam to monitor them all the time. Think of how many average Americans probably would feel invaded if their boss put a camera around their desk area or their work area.
Yeah, they would.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, of course, we can. I kind of understand those cameras on a policeman.
I do too.
I have no argument with them because
it's not that they're doing something wrong. It's they can improve.
Well, they can improve everything. They can identify people that more, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
You now have video of somebody.
Yes, yeah, exactly right. Thing. Exactly, yeah. It's a very good thing. But all across the country, what got into the minds of some of these mayors to do what they did? And what is even inside the mind of these crazy far lefties? Why would they want crime to increase? Why do they want to protect people that are doing bad things to other people? And yet they seem to do that. So anyway, getting back to their turning around all of a sudden on a dime, Mayor Bowser of Washington now asks, after talking about defunding the police, remember in Washington they had that... She renamed the boulevard Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Don't Matter. Now, if she renamed that, there would be trouble. Black Lives Matter Boulevard.
Right.
Yeah, she did all of that. Okay. So now she's done a pivot, and she wants lots of more money for the police all of a sudden. As the same thing in New York, Oakland, California, Austin, Texas. Which, you know, Texas is a red state, but Austin's a liberal city inside Texas. They passed their largest ever police budget all of a sudden. So, you know, people are changing. They're seeing that. Bowser in Washington asked the city council for $11 million to hire 170 new cops after a series of shootings. So there you go. All of a sudden, they're getting religion.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting religion. And maybe in some cases, look what happened in Seattle when they established that zone and let things go to hell in a handbasket.
And look at the ones that want to defund the police, whether it's mayors or congresspeople, but they manage to have their own personal security.
Yes, the ultimate hypocrites. Yeah. Surrounding them, every one of them, are surrounded with guns, surrounded with bodyguards and guns, the things that they claim... They need to divest people of in the world, in the real world or whatever you want to call it.
Hey, before we hit the top 10, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes,
you could probably answer. Do you remember, real quickly, do you remember one of the first COVID relief packages that we sent out that had all that pork in it? For the study of this and the study of that. Wasn't one of those studies going to Afghanistan?
Probably.
Money well spent.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was sort of study of something in Afghanistan.
Yeah, now I kind of remember it. There was something to do about studying something in Afghanistan. Yeah. God knows, money well spent. Exactly right.
He packed up his limo with tons of money.
By the way,
U.S. money.
Before we get to, I just want to get a quick update. Are the Buccaneers? When is their next game?
They play Saturday night against the Titans.
Are they hosting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope they can win one.
I really don't care about preseason.
Nobody cares about it. They want to get a look-see at their new players. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. All right, Ed, it is time. These are the top 10 cities getting too expensive for retirees, and they are places where a lot of retirees are living.
Mm.
But the cost of living being what it is, these places are getting too expensive even quicker than the others. GoBankingRates.com. Subjected all these major cities to a bunch of data tests and came up with the top 10. So here we go. Number 10. What happened to my... There we go. That was a half. Number 10 is right up the street, Ed. It's Largo, Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Largo had the third highest median home list price increase in the previous 5 years at 41%. Says here, thankfully, retirees might get a slight break because there are no taxes on retirement income or Social Security benefits there. Okay, number nine. Apache Junction, Florida. It ranks in the top 10 for median home list price increases over the past 5 years. They have jumped by 32%. Plus, senior residents in this city subject to taxes on their retirement income. Number eight, Palm Springs. I've been there. Median home prices in Palm Springs on the high side of $478,000. Plus, the total annual cost of living expenses there within the top five most expensive on the list. Number seven, I love this name, Pahrump, Nevada. In Pahrump, there are no taxes on retirement on Social Security, but median home prices, they've increased 27% over the past 5 years. Number six.
Yeah, bumped from Pahrump.
Yeah, correct. A thump from Pahrump. Number six is Bullhead City, Arizona. You ever heard of Bullhead City?
No.
It tends to be one of the hottest places. It gets the hot, highest hot temperature sometimes. Anyway, even though the median home list price is not huge at $253,000, home prices have been increasing over the past 5 years, 24%. Number five, Englewood, Florida. Where's Englewood? Do you know?
South, I believe.
Okay. Seniors in Englewood have seen a 46% hike in the past 5 years in their home list price. Yike. Number four, Tamarack, Florida. Where's Tamarack?
South.
Yeah. Tamarack is the fourth most expensive city on the list for retirees.
You're getting close to like Fort Lauderdale in that area.
Right. While there are no taxes on Social Security or retirement income there, the median list price for a home, wow, it jumped 40%.
So the homes are going up.
It's the homes that are going up.
Okay.
That's
why. That makes sense, yeah.
That's why these places are tough now. Because, you know, retirees are on fixed incomes. Number three, Lincoln, California, current median home list price, one of the five highest, $488,000. Cost of living expenses, top five most expensive, $75,000. Number two, I've been here, Walnut Creek, California. That's near San Francisco. Near, it's in wine country. Cost must be high in Walnut Creek to take second place. Cost of living expenditure, second highest on the list at $113,000. Average median home list price, $756,000. Yike. Okay, I know that nobody would know. I can just tell you that. You want to guess the state?
State of California.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Rancho Verde. No, Rancho Palos Verde. Rancho Palos Verde, California, topped the list, and for good reason. Total cost of living expenditure, $151,000, highest on the list. Retirement income taxed. Median list price for a home, $1,368,000.
Wow. And then you get all those other taxes there, too.
You do, indeed.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. By the way,
still, Florida took a beating in that poll.
Florida did take a beating.
What, five,
yeah,
six
Largo?
Of them?
Jeez. My goodness.
Largo?
Stay tuned for Joy on Paper, by the way, hosted by Patsy with a Z right after the news. We'll be back Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth. I'm Steve Kathan. NATO's Secretary General blames Afghan leadership for the stunning collapse of the country, but Jens Stoltenberg admits the alliance is bruised, too, after a failed military training effort. Pentagon correspondent David Martin has the latest on what's going on at the airport in Kabul.
U.S. officials say the runway has been cleared at the airport and cargo planes are flying in and out. The ones coming in are bringing in more combat troops to enforce security, and the ones going out are taking evacuees. Officials believe they can fly out at least 5,000 people a day, and they estimate there are at least 30,000 American citizens and Afghans who once worked for the U.S. waiting for flights.
The Taliban today promised amnesty, said there would be no revenge, and indicated women will now be part of its new government. Afghan native and California college professor Mizgon Zaire Darby is scrambling to be in touch with relatives.
There is a sense of hopelessness. There is a sense of trepidation, sadness, and also seeing that Taliban flag go up has emerged in many the feeling of homelessness.
The White House is poised to recommend COVID booster shots for all people who got one of the two-dose vaccines. Infectious disease expert William Schaffner.
We certainly have the production capacity for the vaccines. And of course, once the FDA gives the approval, we could then communicate to everyone when they would be eligible for that third dose.
Experts say concern about rising COVID cases and inflation kept spending down last month. The government says retail sales fell just over 1%. Grim situation in Haiti after the deadly earthquake. Dr. Scott Nelson's working at a hospital in Port-au-Prince.
We have many people that are in the emergency room on the floor and outside for lack of more space. Many of these are crush injuries, severe open fractures.
Tropical storm Grace is now drenching the country with rain. Fred is no longer a tropical storm, but it will be a rainmaker as it continues to head north.
As it moves into the mountains of North Carolina, it's going to take the moisture that is left in that storm, almost all of it, and it is going to rain it out over some very mountainous terrain. You start to see the potential for mudslides.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson. The storm caused flooding and power outages along the Florida Panhandle, apparent tornadoes in Georgia. The NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars have released Tim Tebow, ending the former quarterback's comeback attempt as a tight end. Wall Street, the Dow is down 306. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth, personalized and affordable financial planning for everyday Americans. No wealth or asset minimums. Quality financial advice for every stage of your life.
Rays came home on Monday, beginning a series with the Baltimore Orioles, and Tampa Bay had a lot of fun against the O's.
Pitchers are swinging a drive toward left center. Mullins going back, still going back to the wall, and it's off the wall, and gets by him. Phillips flying to third. He is going to be waved. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's going to be late inside the park home run for Brett Phillips, and the Rays take a 6-1 lead. And that first base dugout erupts.
And inside the park home run for Brett Phillips was one of five for the Rays, two for Brandon Lau. Tampa Bay wins going away against Baltimore to improve to 72-47 on the year. Move 3.5 ahead of idle Boston in the East. Same two teams on Tuesday airtime at 6:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
For information on the Rays, visit RaysBaseball.com.
This is Polly with Eat, Shop, and Play. We've been every Thursday at 4, but we're moving to Tuesdays at noon. That's every Tuesday at noon. So join me and usually Rochelle, Insurance Girl, for the show. We have a lot of inspirational guests. We support local businesses. Again, join us every Tuesday at noon here on Tantalk Radio.
Sequence. Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox.
I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Cassie Scirbo.
I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick.
Don Snyder. You're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connection.
Lights, camera, action.
Hollywood Connections is here to help you get connected in show business.
So get connected and listen to Hollywood Connections Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Enjoy.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are In the Know and In the Now.